Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Your Monday edition of Justice and Drew continues, and we are very pleased to be joined in studio by lawyer extraordinaire, friend of the program, Jeffrey O'Brien. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Out of the Star Tribune, the Minnesota DFL party overwhelmingly voted Saturday to put its support behind Keith Ellison. Despite the domestic abuse allegation has clouded his bid for state attorney general.
Yeah, but we can't ask anybody about it because it was done on secret ballot. They're so brave. So brave.
I want to tell you face to face that I never abused Karen, Ellison said. Despite everything, I still care about her as a person, and I don't want anybody to say anything insulting to her at all. Yeah, no, you don't, because you don't want her to continue doing interviews and putting out tweets using the hashtag MeToo.
Mm-hmm. Please don't upset her. Apparently she has video. I really don't want that video to be released.
Earlier Saturday, about a dozen protesters gathered outside the high school before the meeting, shouting, "Ellison beats women." DFL party chair Ken Martin quickly voiced support for Ellison as he sought to rally around the party's candidates with just 80 days until election day. There's a comment here real quick. Ellison, right? He was not on hand to hear the results, but before he left the state, so he went there, gave the speech, and then bailed before the secret ballot vote. Before he left the stage, though, he urged DFLers to stick with me in this moment, and he said this: "Even though I have said to you and said to anyone who wants to listen that what I was accused of is not true, I have learned a lot, and I promise you that I will be transparent and forthright about everything. You don't need to learn anything if you didn't do anything wrong. What is there to learn? There's nothing to learn."
Just like that quote from the from Karen's interview last week that we played, where he said, "I don't want to have to keep looking over my shoulder."
Right.
If you've done nothing wrong, there's no reason to look over your shoulder. You got nothing to worry about.
Or right? Why are we hurting each other?
Yeah. Why do we have to destroy each other?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. That was his words.
Yeah.
Why do we have to destroy each other?
He's just the worst. So yeah, go.
The reason we sent up the bat signal for the lawyer extraordinaire was, and this was before the endorsing convention happened, but Ken Martin had made some comments last week that indicated some question as to whether or not Keith Ellison would indeed be the candidate for attorney general going forward. He used the word "if" multiple times when asked about it. If he is the nominee, these issues are certainly going to have to be looked into and sorted out if he is going to be the nominee. So I found a statute about a vacancy and nomination in a partisan office, and it's a little unclear as to whether or not that Keith Ellison could even be replaced on the ballot at this point. After the filing's done, we've had the primary, he won the primary, we are well into the general election now, and I wanted to have you kind of look over that statute and get your take on if they could indeed replace Keith Ellison on the ballot just due to scandal. There are some circumstances in which a vacancy in the ballot can, where a major party can convene and offer up a replacement candidate. Most notably, obviously, a candidate passing away would be a circumstance in which that would allow. But just under like a scandal, stepping down in the wake of a scandal or something like that, it doesn't appear that it's at least not very clear as to how a major party could replace that candidate.
Sure. Well, we've seen this actually once play out in Minnesota on a statewide race. So, yes, they can. If Keith Ellison were to withdraw from the race for attorney general for the general election, the DFL would have the opportunity to select a replacement candidate and have that candidate's name put on the ballot. This happened in 1990 in the governor's race on the Republican side, where John Grunseth had beaten Arne Carlson in the primary during October of that year withdrew from the race amidst allegations of some bad behavior at home. And the Republican Party then met. They nominated Arne Carlson, who had already jumped back into the race running a write-in campaign, which, you've got Lori Swanson, the current AG, sitting out there without a job right now. So nothing says that she couldn't all jump in and run a write-in campaign herself, independent from, you know, if Allison stays in the race. But eventually the Republican Party nominated Arne Carlson, and his name was put on the ballot in place of John Grunseth. So yes, if the statute says if the candidate dies or withdraws by filing an affidavit of withdrawal at least one day prior to the general election, or is determined to be ineligible to hold the office the candidate is seeking pursuant to court order issued under section 204B.44. And you look at that statute, and essentially it says about, you know, if someone's name is placed on the ballot in error, then someone can petition the court to have it removed. So if Keith Ellison were to withdraw by filing an affidavit of withdrawal with the Secretary of State, which is, I believe, where he files, because you have to file the same place with the same official who received the affidavit of candidacy, then the party is allowed to nominate a replacement and put them on the ballot.
It doesn't appear that this is going to happen. It doesn't appear that this is going to be an issue after the endorsement convention, obviously. But if the alleged video does indeed exist, if the alleged video is indeed released, then that opens up a whole new can of worms.
You know, and I can't help but wonder that if the specter of a video was removed. Right. If this was the video aspect of it wasn't even a part of this equation, if people would have been, or if he would have been actually held accountable at this point more so than he's already been.
I agree.
I feel like the video hanging there is providing an out for a lot of people, even though they won't, even though they won't admit it.
I absolutely agree with you, John. I think the fact that with the original statement made by her son saying, "We've got this, I've seen this video." I think is, you're right. People are saying, well, show us the video then. If he had just said, then I think it's a little bit different conversation. In terms of, you know, at this point, what's going to happen, I think part of it depends on how this plays out with the voters. If the DFL's internal polling is suggesting that this is a drag on perhaps, say, Tim Walz's campaign or Tina Smith's campaign or, you know, another statewide race, and they put pressure on him to withdraw because of it. That's where it gets interesting. This is, again, back to 1990. This is the election that cost Rudy Boschwitz his Senate seat because he got involved and focused on getting Grunseth out of the race because it was hurting his campaign. And people retaliated against Boschwitz by voting for Wellstone, party people. So this could go either way. If he stays on the ballot, he could be a drain. If they try to force him off the ballot, he's got a very loyal following in CD5, and they could turn around and say, fine, I won't vote, or I'm vote for some third party candidate to punish the DFL for getting rid of my guy.
And there's no way that we're gonna know, you know, how the voters actually feel. I don't think the endorsement process, and certainly the way that it went down, is I don't think you can spin too much from that. The problem that we're faced with right now, and the problem being of Keith Ellison actually being held accountable, is that the stance that the majority of those on the left in the DFL are taking right now, they're taking away the ability for the court of public opinion to actually wield any power in this particular case. The media is not going to drive it. Mm-hmm. And if you've got Ken Martin and the other candidates who are taking the stance of, well, we need to see all the information, we need to see it play out, who's going to be sort of the public champion to push back against Ellison and say, no, he needs to be held accountable? I mean, Now came out, they condemned it, that he needed to drop out, but that doesn't seem to be carrying any weight. And Karen Monahan, I was just looking at her Twitter feed, she's not necessarily letting go. I mean, she still over the weekend was retweeting different stories relating to what is happening with her and putting out there that she felt like there was one story she had of why whistleblowers are cast as the villain. Obviously, she feels like, you know, this is how she's being portrayed because she is now as being the bad guy in all of this. But, the court of public opinion doesn't seem to be upset.
Well, that remains to be seen. You know, not upset enough to force any action. You know, he's still, nobody has withdrawn their endorsement of Keith Ellison, Governor Dayton, Tina Smith, so on and so forth. Nobody has stepped forward and disassociated themselves from Keith Ellison at this point. The Court of Public Opinion will probably render its verdict in November. I mean, if you're a Republican candidate, it would be smart. As we saw with Karen Housley last on Friday's show, it would be smart to hang Keith Ellison around the neck of every DFL opponent at this point, make them answer for his support. You know, if they're going to continue to support him, if they're going to campaign for him, with him, on his behalf, one or the other, are they going to vote for him? Make this an issue in every single race going forward, and let the Court of Public Opinion render its verdict when they go to the ballot box.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, it should be. And that's what would happen if this were a Republican. As John Gilmore is very fond of saying on social media, we're just playing by your rules, guys. These are your rules that you set up.
Yeah. And they're destroying any credibility that you have moving forward. I mean, without a firm condemnation of Keith Ellison over these abuse accounts, it really is, in my opinion, ruining the chance of another individual to accuse somebody, you know, high profile in public based off of accusation alone. And that wasn't the world that we were in. And I've said all along, look, if this is the stance that we're going to end up taking in looking at all of these abuse claims, right? Okay. This is the way the media is going to handle it and just report the facts and we're going to let things lie. Okay. But we all know that's not the case. The next time someone on the right is accused of anything even close to what Ellison was, they'll be all out and up in arms and sure. Freaking out about it once again.
I mean, no, you just compare it to how they treat Jason Lewis. Just compare it to the Jason Lewis situation where you've got these provocative comments that were made decades ago on the radio from Jason Lewis, who was known for using provocative arguments to make a larger point. Mm-hmm. You take those provocative arguments out of context, you miss the larger point. So now we're just dealing with very out of context statements that were made on the radio. You know, that is justification enough for many on the left to call him a terrible, awful person, unfit to seek office. But those same people are you know, nothing but crickets coming out of their mouth when it comes to Keith Ellison, who the allegations are far, far worse.
Right, and those same people were the ones that saying that Al Franken's offensive comedy skits from decades ago should be disregarded because that was just entertainment. You know, I mean, you know, it's
hypocrisy running amok.
Yeah, I think with the Ellison situation, I don't know if public opinion strengthens against him absent the video coming out, and I don't know if they're going to show it. I mean, that's a personal decision that Karen Monahan and her family have to make. But I don't, you know, because we look at the Al Franken allegations. There were several allegations, but at least one of them there was a photo that to back it up. I don't know that when you're dealing with a Democrat being accused of it of harassment or abuse. Absent some sort of tangible evidence, and like you said, John, they put it out there by making reference to this video. If they had just not said that there's this video and right. I'd seen this, then it wouldn't be, well, let's see the video. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
You go back to the Star Tribune article and you kind of get into the minds of a couple of Ellison supporters. This one Minneapolis delegate and Ellison supporter said Saturday that she knew Ellison and Monahan had a messy relationship, but said she still supported the candidate because she didn't believe that he was abusive. And again, that doesn't line up with what Ellison is saying. Ellison is saying that it didn't happen. So if it didn't happen, then the relationship wasn't messy, apart from the fact that Karen's arguing and saying that it's, you know, that it was. They went on to say, we have an allegation that is a serious allegation, and I want to take that seriously. But it is, as far as I can tell, no one allegation about one event that took a couple of minutes years ago. I've got 12 years of experience with this guy. I've never seen anything like that from him. So Ellison's never abused me, so, you know.
So domestic abuse is okay as long as it only takes a couple of minutes.
Oh, my God.
As long as it's short. Is that what she's saying?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're right.
It was a couple minutes. It was a long time ago.
It was a couple of minutes, a couple of years ago. Who hasn't called their spouse names and dragged their boyfriend or girlfriend, dragged them off the bed cursing at him? Who hasn't done that? Right? Right, guys? Right, that's all we do in relationships. We just, you know, throw our women around. Yeah.
Just, it was a couple minutes long, and it was a long time ago. And, you know, he's never abused me. I mean, granted, I've never been in a relationship with him, but... You know, and it is, and it's multiple women with very similar allegations, very similar tales from multiple women, corroborated by other people that were close to these relationships. I mean, it all is very credible. It all seems very credible. And the allegations made against people like Dan Schoen and Tony Cornish were certainly enough to drub them out of office. But when it comes to Keith Ellison and when it comes to retaining power in the Attorney General's office, we're just going to shrug our shoulders and dismiss it.
And in the Pioneer Press article, and as you mentioned, Jeff O'Brien, the National Organization for Women said Ellison must withdraw from the race. They said that last week on Thursday. Going on to say, it's very simple, we believe survivors. When the question was asked of Ellison on Friday, should it be necessary for women to provide evidence if they claim they have it? One individual said, that's a tougher question. I'm not the one who claimed to have evidence. I think the person who said they had something, it's on them to produce it. But at the same time, look, this happens within the context of society where millions of women have been mistreated, abused, and hurt, and they haven't been believed, and that's real. Yeah. It's, I don't know. I've already given up on the DFL. They've lost, not that they didn't have much anyways, but they've lost complete and total credibility when it comes to the hashtag MeToo movement now that they've actually gone and endorsed him.
Yeah, we said we'll give them a week.
Yep.
And we said we'll give them a few days and see how they handle this. If they do indeed distance themselves from Ellison and say, you know what, you won your primary, you're on the ballot, but we're not going to campaign for you, we're not going to campaign on your behalf, good luck, then we would give them credit. They didn't do that. They gave him a full-throated 82% endorsement and did it in a cowardly manner where there will not have to be any sort of accountability or transparency for it. So they lose all credibility in my mind. Jeffrey O'Brien, thank you so much for giving us some time this morning and providing your expertise.
Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure.
Coming up, speaking of socialists and horrible candidates, we'll talk about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, banned reporters from a public town hall, and also why Ilhan Omar's victory offers Muslim candidate a new platform to oppose Trump.
Justice.